The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open. It's Friday. Air your grievances here at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, the fine one, Kari Pennybaker. I believe he is very active, not only in Democratic politics, but also, I hate to use the term gun control, but sensible gun control.
Gun safety.
And there was a ruling by the Wisconsin Supreme Court today that was troubling even to those that concurred with the ruling. Because technically it was right, but legally it was dumbfounding. I found this one at the Raw Story, Dumb. Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice blasts nonsensical law allowing abusers to get concealed carry gun permits post-abuse. Let me read this. In a unanimous ruling, how often does that happen? A 7-0 ruling out of the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled that a man who was convicted of a misdemeanor disorderly conduct for breaking into his estranged wife's home and threatening her while waving a 2x4 is eligible to receive a permit to carry a concealed weapon. What a great law we have in the books. The court found that the man did not commit a crime of domestic violence. Under federal law, if a person has been convicted of domestic violence-related misdemeanor, they're ineligible to possess a firearm. And despite the unanimous ruling, Justice Jill Karofsky wrote a scathing concurrence. That's a strange thing. A scathing concurrence.
How often do you hear that?
In which Karofsky said that on the technical legal grounds, the ruling is correct, but the law is as nonsensical as it is dangerous. She cited statistics showing victims of domestic violence are frequently murdered when their abusers own guns. In 1993, Daniel Dubeck of Door County smashed the glass of the front door of his wife's home to unlock the door. When he got inside, he raised a piece of lumber above his head and told her she's dead. Dubeck's wife was home alone with the couple's 4-year-old daughter. She called for help from the neighbors while she and her husband argued outside for about 30 minutes as he continued to threaten her. Eventually, he left and ultimately pled guilty to misdemeanor disorderly conduct. And in 2016, Dubeck applied for and received a permit to carry a concealed weapon. 3 years later, the Department of Justice reversed its decision to grant the permit, citing his history of domestic violence. Dubeck appealed to the circuit court, which agreed with the state. Friday's Supreme Court decision is a reversal of the circuit court. But when you get a 7-0 ruling, you've got to think on the legal grounds that that's the right answer. Now, Dubeck's attorney argued that disorderly conduct is not domestic violence-related crime, so he should be able to possess a gun. In his majority opinion, Hagedorn wrote that the court must base its decision solely on whether the elements of the crime of conviction sufficiently match the elements of the relevant federal statute, while ignoring the particular facts of the case. Karofsky wrote that ignoring the facts of the case is dangerous.
Right, man.
A little bit more from her scathing concurrence, Dom. A domestic abuse victim is 5 times more likely to be killed by her abuser when the abuser has access to a gun. Every month in this country, an average of 70 women lose their lives to a domestic abuse perpetrator using a gun. Over half of all male perpetrated femicides relate to domestic abuse are the result of a firearm. What's more, an abuser's access to a gun increases that risk that a domestic homicide will claim the lives of multiple victims. And even where no homicide occurs, a gun provides an abuser additional means to coerce, threaten, terrorize a domestic abuse victim.
I mean, if the guy's going to swing around a 2x4, who's to say he's not going to, you know, pull out and flash the gun? A little bit more here, Crudy. While Karofsky agreed with the rest of the court that legally Dubeck should be allowed to possess a weapon, she said that a legislative change should be made to close the loophole. Quote, recognizing this deadly combination, Congress enacted a firearm ban on domestic violence misdemeanors to address a dangerous loophole in which the domestic abusers avoided losing their access to the gun because often prosecutors did not charge, much less convict, such abusers as felons, a status that generally would dispossess them. Cases like this show, the loophole is still open and dangerously so. Closing it, though, requires legislative rather than judicial action. I'm sure Robin Voss and the crew will leave their convention this week, and maybe this will be a topic of conversation and, you know, call for a special session, perhaps. The Raw story goes on to report that Karofsky suggested three potential actions for the state legislature: adding a criminal statute of, quote, threatened battery, making domestic abuse a standalone crime, or allowing courts to make the determination if the facts of a case constitute a crime of domestic violence. Rep. Lisa Subic, a Democrat from Madison, said on Friday that the decision was a sign that the legislature should pass a bill she co-authored with Senator Dale Coyne, a Republican from Brookfield, that would prohibit anyone with a domestic violence conviction, including disorderly conduct, from owning a firearm.
I got to tell you, for a change, I agree with Dale Coyne.
It is unacceptable that Republicans would allow yet another session to pass without taking action to protect victims of domestic violence, Subic said. We must give law enforcement and the courts the tools they need to protect our families and communities from dangerous individuals with a history of violent behavior. Wisconsin Examiner, from Harry Redman, as reported on the Raw story.
Dominic, one other breaking story we want to inform the audience of before we turn the clock to the happier happy hour. A federal judge has blocked the Biden administration from lifting Title 42. Now, that was the pandemic-related action that, the Trump administration put in place to basically use the pandemic as a cover for keeping people out of America. And apparently, a federal judge, this would have been an expiring policy, and a federal judge has blocked the rollback of Title 42. A little bit of reporting. A federal judge in Louisiana has, for now, blocked the Biden administration from ending a Trump-era pandemic restriction known as Title 42 at the U.S.-Mexico border, thwarting plans to terminate the controversial public health authority. Since taking office, President Joe Biden's administration has continued to rely on Title 42, a public health authority invoked at the onset of the coronavirus pandemic that allows border officials to turn migrants away at the U.S.-Mexico border. And in early April, though, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced plans to terminate the order. The CDC said the time is no longer necessary given current public health conditions and the increased availability of vaccines and treatments for COVID-19. The decision sparked a flurry of criticism by Republicans and Democrats amid heightened concerns over a migrant surge when the authority lifts. So a judge is blocking the end of Title 42. And I got to tell you, Dom, the Biden administration might have caught a break there. The vast majority of the American people, when polled, according to CNN, do not agree that now is the time to end this policy. They may not agree with the policy, and I'm not saying I agree with Title 42, but now may not be the time, you know, going into the midterms to end this policy. Joe Biden, you got enough problems, man. Have you seen his new polling? It's really quite atrocious, and I'm not trying to pile on the man. I'm just saying, Joe needs to catch a break. Maybe he caught a modest break from the federal courts. Come back. More devil's advocates. The happier how? Happier hour is right now.
Are you sure?
Not really.